There's already an annual list of the best places to work in government, and of course every list has a top and a bottom. Now Congress wants to start keeping closer track of the worst ones. The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee is inviting employees to share their concerns through an anonymous email tip line. And that'll help the committee keep tabs on employee satisfaction. Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp has written extensively about this, and she joins me now with more. Emily, good morning.
Good morning.
I think it's about time those at the bottom got to the attention they so richly deserve.
Well, you have to give the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on Government Operations some points for yesterday's hearing. One for creativity and a little bit of guts, because when you entitle something the worst agencies in government, you might not exactly expect people to want to show up. But for the most part, the agencies invited did show up. They did have, I think, as much as you can, sort of a heart-to-heart about the problems they face and the efforts that they're taking, that at least the leaders think they're taking, that will lead to better morale. But at the end of it, the chairman of the subcommittee, North Carolina's Mark Meadows, said that he would open this new email account inviting federal employees to directly tell him what they thought was wrong at their agencies. He also said he wanted to visit those worst agencies to speak to the rank and file.
All right. So he is, I guess, in a sense, a kind of explaining why he's a little change of heart there from always maybe bashing feds to saying, well, we're really on the same team here.
Right. You did not hear any Fed bashing from him yesterday. I mean, it was very cordial. He is a conservative, very conservative Republican from sort of the perspective of smaller government is better government. But and you have to look at his record and how he votes on things like the budget. And so I'm not saying there isn't some contradiction, but I have to say, you know, give him credit a little bit for saying yesterday, at least, we care about federal employees. We know that most federal employees are really dedicated people, and we're troubled by the fact that their morale is sinking, because in the end, that's going to hurt Americans, too, in terms of what feds can accomplish and in terms of services for the public.
And of course, he personalized it in the sense that the name of the mailbox is Tell Mark. At mail.house.gov.
Oh, he wants the credit, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not just tell Congress, it's tell me. He's like becoming maybe the psychiatric consultant for those that don't like where they're working.
Right, like Dr. Phil or somebody, right. But hey, you know, I mean, it's worth a shot. Now, I want to say that he was not, yes, it's tell Mark, but he was not alone. Virginia Democrat Jerry Connolly, the ranking member, was also very impassioned at this hearing. Really no surprise, because he represents a lot of federal employees. But we'll get to him in a minute. But I want to tell you a little bit about the three agencies that showed up. One was the Homeland Security Department, and that's like the largest, largest agency. The Chief Human Capital Officer, Catherine Emerson, was there. One was the National Archives, which is pretty low in terms of mid-sized. And the third was the Chemical Safety Board, which only has 40 employees, but perennially fails in the Best Places to Work ranking, which is based on the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so they had, that agency, they just finally got rid of the head of it, who has been notorious, really, for whistleblower retaliation and so forth. But it looks like David Ferriero had some interesting things to say about this whole thing, and you captured a piece of that. Let's hear what he had to say.
Much of the work that goes on behind the scenes at the archives is hard physical work in windowless facilities that lack amenities found in most federal office settings. Believe me, I know. I began my career pulling and reshelving books and journals for long hours in the bowels of the libraries at MIT. I've traveled to NARA facilities over the past few years and met with employees. What is most distressing to me is that many staff feel that they have felt undervalued and overworked for years. They're also rightfully frustrated by the simple facts that over the past three decades, our holdings have more than tripled, customer expectations have changed dramatically, and electronic records require new resources, while at the same time, our workforce numbers have declined. We're far behind finding efficiencies to do more with less. The very nature of our work has changed to the point where employees of 30 years ago would not even recognize it.
And that's archivist David Ferriero explaining morale challenges at NARA. And so he, in some sense, put the blame a little bit on Congress, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think that was a theme among the agencies, not so much that they were beating up on Congress, but they were all saying, look, you know, especially at the archives and the Chemical Safety Board, they said, you know, we don't have the resources to do our jobs at the archives. They've lost a lot of people, as he said. You can just, you know, think about all the talk about emails and preserving emails and government emails lately. You can imagine what he's saying when he says that people who worked there 30 years ago wouldn't know what to do. In addition, he said that most people are at the general schedule grade 8 or lower, so they're fairly low paid. They don't necessarily have a clear career opportunities, career advancement opportunities at the archives. But he said, you know, they are trying to address those things that they can, but yes, it would certainly help if they had more money, if they had steady budgets, predictable budgets, and things like that that are within Congress's purview. And Democrats largely on the committee echoed that. I want to get back to Jerry Connolly. Of course, he does represent a very federal employee heavy district, and he was saying that Congress needs to take responsibility too.
We need to be speaking in respectful tones about our workforce. We need to be motivating and incentivizing them. We need to be fair. We need to avoid the demagogic or the pandering, even though the temptation politically may be great, because back home, you know, beating up on nameless bureaucrats, you know, can help you. Defending the federal employee is of low political yield in many districts, not mine, but many.
And that's Jerry Connolly, who, of course, as you said, Emily, does represent many federal employees. And he says he doesn't like the idea of pandering either, which I guess is sort of false or, you know, really undeserved praise. Just treat everybody fairly, it seems to be the theme here.
Yes, absolutely. And it was kind of interesting because Mark Meadows comes from a very different, the chairman, he comes from a very different district. And Connolly made note of that. And he said, you know, let's give Meadows credit because his district might be one of those where you get points for beating up on nameless bureaucrats, as he says. But anyway, so yes, money is part of the problem. I think everybody, all the agency representatives and certainly the Democrats on the panel would agree. But the interesting thing is when that was asked point blank to the sort of expert called there to testify, who was from the Government Accountability Office, Robert Goldenkopf, he said, you know, it's not really about money, because if you look at all the agencies, you'll see that during the past 5 years of tough budget times, many of them, their scores on this employee viewpoint survey have gone up, or their rankings in the best places have gone up, and they're as cash strapped as anyone.
So many of these drivers of engagement, they don't cost anything, or they cost so little. You know, it's being supportive, it's listening to your people, valuing what they have to say. It's not everything. There, you know, there's more to be done, but at least it's such a very good starting point. One of the things that, you know, I'm reminded of at GAO, when we came back to work after the shutdown, the head of our agency, Mr. Dodaro, he was out in front of the building welcoming people back. People are still talking about that to this day. So it's sometimes it's very little things like that. In many cases, it's things that we learned in kindergarten, that we just sometimes forget about them, and just the busyness of day-to-day operations, fighting the fires that we all have to face every day. We sometimes forget those little personal touches that can go a long way, just saying thank you.
And that's GAO's Robert Goldenkopf. And so you had a wide range of views there, the agencies that were ranked low, and GAO and Congress. So, Emily, where does this all head from now, from this point forward?
Everybody's just going to go around saying thank you to everybody. So there is this new tip line from the committee, and Mark Meadows repeatedly said he's already visited the archives yesterday. The day before the hearing. The hearing was yesterday, so 2 days ago. He visited the archives, spoke with the rank and file. The representative of the Chemical Safety Board, Manny Ehrlich, invited him to do the same. He said he wanted to. He said he wanted to visit more agencies. So that's on tap, and we'll see what he does, if anything. First of all, we'll see if federal employees feel comfortable emailing him. He says he's going to keep their emails anonymous, but we'll see if they feel comfortable coming forward, and then if that shows up in anything that the committee does. I'm personally pretty interested to see if this was just sort of a one-off, or as Meadows says, it becomes a continual process. He wants the agencies, these three agencies, to report back in a few months with something quantifiable showing that they're no longer as bad as they are now.
Well, if people really start to use that email me, Mark, at house.gov, or we've got it linked at federalnewsradio.com, you can find the actual mailbox in Emily's story at federalnewsradio.com. If people do that widely, he might need cloud storage for all the messages he gets. All right, Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.